Beloved congregation, the text for this evening is the passage that we read, particularly the verses 43 through 47. But then particularly verse 47. Let me read those few verses again, starting at verse 43 of Luke chapter 8. And the woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And then especially verse 47. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." Beloved congregation, the Lord's Supper speaks of communion with the Lord. You could say that it is the table around which the Lord, as father or a father, gathers his children. And as a father and a mother at home love to see all their children around the table, that's how the Lord loves in church to see each of his children around his table. And just as at home, if one of the children would be missing, we'd feel the empty place. And so it is with the Lord. And he said to his disciples in Luke chapter 22, verse 11, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." And at the table of the Lord, if it's right, then his children gather themselves around his table in order to be nourished by him, in order to receive from him the food that he gives them. And then he says to them, "This is for you. Eat, take. For otherwise the journey would be too great for you." The Lord's table. You could also say that it is the table of the bridegroom, where he wants to be the host as he gathers his bride church. And what bridegroom does not love to be close to his bride for communion with her? And the love that he has in his heart for her. Now, congregation, that's the beauty of the Lord's Supper. There you find the broken communion, the broken paradise communion, we could say, restored. The communion with God restored in Jesus Christ. And that makes sinners say, sinners who know of their sin and who know of this Christ, say, "The Lord's Supper, oh, sometimes to me it's like something of heaven on this earth." Oh, how at times you can be so close with God. At least you can long for it, can't you? And there are also some in our midst who know of that longing, and they say, "Yes, Lord, to be at thy table and to taste there at thy table that thou art good. I long for it." But at the same time, at the Lord's table, the Lord reminds us of our greatest, our deepest need. The need that by nature we are without God. Whereas in paradise, in the garden, there was the communion with God. But by sin there has come that separation between God and our souls. And a week of preparation raises for us the question, how can a person now return to the Lord and have that communion? You could say that that's the main question for this week of preparation to every one of us, whether you are a communicant member or not, whether you are a member of the congregation or not. But that's a question to which you must give an answer. How can a person return to God and have communion with God? Let that be your question this week, congregation, in the week of preparation, and let us not run from this question. How can I return to this communion with God? And if that is a real question in your heart, then there is an answer to your question. Because then at the table of the Lord, next Lord's Day, there will be Jesus, and He is the way back to God. He removes the separation. He restores the communion. He brings us to His feet. And that's the picture we have this evening in this lovely passage of Luke chapter 8, congregation. Let's listen to it by way of the theme. The great physician draws a needy woman to His feet. The great physician draws a needy woman to His feet through her painful suffering, first of all, through His powerful healing, secondly, and then thirdly, through His probing question. So the great physician draws a needy woman to His feet through her painful suffering, through His powerful healing, and then finally through His probing question. First of all, through her painful suffering. The woman whom we meet in our text, congregation, surely is to be pitied. She is a woman who is suffering from an incurable disease, also an embarrassing kind of a disease, an issue of blood. It's a disease you really don't want to talk about with others. As we do talk with one another about other kinds of illness, don't we? And we find that sometimes even just talking about it and sharing your problems with others can already alleviate some of your burdens. And this woman has been trying for 12 years to keep others from knowing of her disease. She's always concerned that others will find out as to what's wrong with her. And others don't need to know what's her deep and heavy burden under which she has already been burdened for so long. The disease has been sapping her strength. She's been afflicted with a wearying kind of disease. She has suffered from an internal bleeding for 12 years. Now, to the ears of the Jews, 12 years make up a fullness of years. As if she has suffered this all along in her life. 12 years, that's a period without end. And she has tried to go everywhere for a remedy for her disease. She's gone from the one physician to the next. Has tried so hard to find a remedy. Instead, she's been getting worse. That's the situation of the woman in our text. During 12 years, she has been drained of financial resources. And by now, she also has been drained of all her physical energy. And worse, this woman belongs to those people in Israel who are ceremonially unclean. According to the laws that the Lord specifies, particularly in the book of Leviticus. And that means that this woman, for 12 years, congregation, has been living in a dreadful kind of isolation. Because she has not been allowed to go where there are other people. Because she would make them unclean. And accordingly, she's been avoided, lest others contract from her uncleanness, which in their case would only be for a little time, till they would have gone through the purification. But still it was kind of troublesome to the people. So life must have been very hard on this woman. And the worst thing to this woman must have been that she has not been permitted now for 12 years to go to the temple in Jerusalem and take any part in the worship of God. Visibly, she had to live apart from the Lord God. And you know that the Lord God in Israel particularly had given various examples, you could say, or illustrations of the consequences of sin. Namely, that sin, as a consequence, has separated us from God, has created a distance between God and us, and also between us and our neighbor. By sin, there can be no more communion with God and my soul. And the flow of blood that this woman has been having for 12 years speaks of the flow of iniquities on account of sin, which flow really through a sinner's life. And as long as that flow of sin, congregation, has not been stopped, as long as that disease has not been healed, as long as that sin has not been atoned for, a woman such as this woman had to keep herself from the temple in Jerusalem. She could not go there to hide under the shadow of the Lord's wings to be safe. She could not be there when the priest would come out and he would lift up his hands and he would dismiss the people with the blessing of the Lord on the basis of the sacrifice. And she could not go there to see Jehovah's kindly face that gives happiness and grace to all that are pure-hearted. For 12 years, she had been a lonely soul. And she must conclude or not, the Lord will not hear me. He does not hear me. He's not interested in me. And that's been the most painful part of her sickness. And her greatest fear, although it's not spelled out, congregation, but is it not the implication? Her greatest fear is that one day she will die and then be separated from God forever. That's evident from the words that she speaks to Jesus, and it's also evident from the words that the Lord Jesus speaks in response, because this woman did not only go to Jesus to be made whole of her physical sickness, but ultimately she was seeking salvation, eternal salvation. She came to be made whole. And the Greek word for to be made whole is the same as to be saved by Christ. And I say that's the verb that she used and that Jesus used. But the day came in her life that she had heard about Jesus. She had heard that there is this Savior who performs many miracles. She had heard that he offers help to the poor, and she knew herself to be poor. She had heard that Jesus, the Savior, would heal the brokenhearted, who would come to him with their sins and griefs, and he would bind up their wounds. And she had heard that Jesus was the willing priest who said to a poor leper, who said in an earlier chapter in Luke, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus had said, I will be thou clean. She had heard about Jesus, that he was the mighty Savior, who when there was a man with an unclean spirit coming to Jesus, Jesus delivered that man from that unclean spirit. She had heard what we read in the chapter before, chapter 8, congregation, about a widow mother who had lost her only son through death. That Jesus had said to her, weep not, and had raised her son from the dead. And she may have heard that the Lord Jesus had said to that woman who was caught in the act of adultery brought by the scribes and Pharisees to Jesus. And when Jesus had said to those men, "Anyone without sin, let him pick up the first stone." And when they were all gone, and there was Jesus left without sin, did not pick up the first stone at her, but he said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." That's what she had heard of Jesus. She knew all these things about Jesus, but what she did not know about this Jesus was that the Lord Jesus was drawing her to himself, this poor, this pitiable woman. It may be, congregation, that if she had not been suffering, that what she might have heard about the Lord Jesus might have sounded to her like fairy tales. But now, through all her suffering and pain, what was happening? This was happening. Christ was drawing this woman to himself. Because these reports about Jesus addressed her situation. And though in essence she did not know a whole lot yet, the words that she had heard about Jesus had given her hope. It may be that for some time she basically had no more hope for herself. But then when she heard about this Jesus who had cleansed and healed and redeemed, there had come again hope in her heart. Jesus. In the Gospel according to Mark, in chapter 5, where Mark deals with the same event, congregation, the woman said to herself, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Think of that, congregation. This week is a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. And there are in our midst some or many who think that in order to partake of the Lord's table, you really need to know a whole lot about yourself and about your spiritual experiences. But look at this woman who was suffering, was in pain, had tried everything, but this woman was at an end with herself. But as she had come to an end with herself, in the midst of all, there was growing in her this conviction, this steady conviction. He, this Jesus, he can save me. I know he can. Thou must save, and thou alone. Now think of that. This woman who had suffered disappointment upon disappointment for 12 years hears about Jesus and she says, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." From those words is evident that she thought very highly of the Lord Jesus. O congregation, when God's children add up everything that they know about the Savior, as to what they really believe and know, what does it amount to? I mean, if you think of what you knew when you for the first time came to Jesus and ended up at the feet of Jesus, how much did you know? Was it really not quite little? So little about yourself? And so little about Jesus. But you knew enough to know he is able to save me. If I could but reach him, if I could be touch this almighty Savior. Now, beloved, what is your pain? What burden is there in your life? What suffering has God brought into your life? Now we try to hide that, don't we? We feel shame. But has God used it in your life to see that you need Jesus and that nothing else will suffice? There is no other remedy but Jesus, the only Savior. That's the first thing we see about this woman. Drawn by her painful suffering to the Lord. But then secondly, she was also drawn by the powerful healing of the Lord. When you think of a congregation, faith, if that is worked in your heart by the Lord himself, by his mighty word of salvation, that kind of faith does not allow you to hold back any longer. And that's quite remarkable about this woman, is it not? Because notice how the crowd of people thronging around Jesus, this crowd proves to be really a test for this woman. And with her disease, she is afraid of being noticed by the people. Nobody may notice me. And moreover, this woman who is trying to get close to Jesus, to touch him, is close to him at this very moment, it turns out to be. So she may have thought the wrong moment. Because here is Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, a man of eminence in this community of Capernaum. And he has just arrived. And he has told Jesus about his dying daughter. "Will you come with me?" he said to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus had said, yes, I will. And we understand that congregation, that this requires Jesus' immediate attention. And here's this woman who comes right in between. You might, as it were, say it with the words of the physician Luke, who is writing this. On the one hand, there is this woman, this chronic patient, already for 12 years. She comes to visit this physician, the great physician, at the moment that there is this father with his dying daughter. "Will you please come?" And you would think that the Lord Jesus would say, "There is a woman who wants, she has a chronic disease. I just have to tell her something. Don't come. I'm on my way to Jairus' home. Try tomorrow." And we would have understood that congregation, because we would have said, this dying girl, 12 years old, is more important now for this physician than this woman. You have to wait till another time. And when you put it all together, congregation, then you have to say that there is so much for this woman that deters her, or that might deter her. And is that not often the case? Remember the Apostle Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians 7 about without our fightings and within our fears? That's how it must have been with this woman. She must have concluded that now it is impossible. But she had heard about Jesus. And hold on to that congregation, because that's the secret. She has heard about Jesus. And that which she has heard about Jesus drives her, draws her to Jesus. From heaven, the Father is drawing her to his Son. And that's how she does not stop at this moment, but she throngs in the press, trying to get closer to Jesus, to touch him. And she hustles through the multitude of people. And now she is right behind Jesus. And for a moment, a brief moment, she touches the Lord Jesus very quickly. The fringe of the garment of Jesus, the border, almost looks like she is stealing something. You perhaps know the phrase that there are people who, spiritually speaking, are afraid of stealing Jesus. Well, in the case of this woman, it looks like she is stealing. But reverently speaking, Jesus consciously and willingly allows his virtue, that is, his power, to be taken by the empty hands of this needy sinner. And this woman is not stealing. When a poor sinner approaches Jesus and lays hold of the Savior of sinners, she is not stealing. It can't be congregation. Because if you read 1 John 3, then you read something like this, that John writes that the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of darkness. And that includes also to take away, he was manifested to take away our sins. He came precisely for needy sinners who have no other hope but this physician. No other balm in Gilead but this Jesus. All that the Father giveth shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, in this case, her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And notice then that little word, congregation, immediately, and you find it in the three Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. Immediately, they say, immediately, that is, as a fruit of her touching him, that is, touching him in faith, her issue of blood stanched, stopped. And it wasn't just the physical touch of Jesus that made her whole. As becomes clear, it was the faith that drove this needy sinner to lay hold of Christ. Set forth here in the gospel, that's what makes her whole. Do you see, beloved congregation, how this needy woman was privileged to return to the communion with God? The moment she touched the border of Jesus' garment, his power flowed over into her. At that very moment, the breach began to be removed. And she, as a branch, began to take in the life juices from the vine, this vine, I am the vine, from this vine, into this hungry, this thirsty soul. Oh, when you read this congregation, don't you agree what a great physician Jesus is? And then to think that it did not take Jesus by any surprise. He knew who was touching him. He knew what was living in her heart. The Son of God saw her flee away from him. He knew her, even though she, in a certain sense, did not know him. He was at work in her. He saw her faith even before she would have dared to say that she believed. And that was no wonder, for the faith that drew her to Jesus had been worked in her heart by the Lord himself. That was a fruit, you could say, of the Holy Spirit, who applied his word to the heart of this sinner. And this text, congregation, for this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, contains such an encouraging message, particularly for those who are timid in this regard. And if you are one of the timid ones, then you will understand so much of this woman, won't you? Here you are. You may have heard of Jesus for so long already. How he performs miracles, how he shows compassion for those who are poor and needy, how he bows down to lonely ones, and how he raises sinners from the dust. And something in your heart has been at work. Something in your heart has been opened. And you understand the language of this woman when she says, if only I may touch him, I shall be saved. Because that's the word she uses. And I hope this evening, congregation, that there are in our midst here in church those who don't only hear this passage, But in this passage now here, something as to what's going on in their own heart. Their own heart. Others perhaps do not know what's going on in your heart. It may be that something is going on in your heart and you have not talked about this to anyone. But this night you see your portrait in this woman. And you can understand this woman in that she wished to hide her uncleanness. And you say, that's me. I have tried to hide my uncleanness from the Lord and from the rest of mankind. But it's true, I find in my heart something going out to the Lord. And I have said to him, and I say it tonight, Lord, to whom shall I go? But to thee. Thou art the fountain of life. In whom else can I find the broken relationship with God restored? Now, if that's you, then I may proclaim to you this evening, he won't send you away empty. He won't. He knows the longing for him in your soul. He knows of your hidden touch in order to be made whole. And in this narrative, he speaks to you and he says to you, your heart shall live that seek the Lord. In the meanwhile, and the Lord Jesus knows this himself the best, not only her body needed to be made whole, but her faith also needed to be made clear and strong. And that's why she is in the third place also drawn by a probing question. Who touched me? Jesus asked. What a question, Peter and the other disciples say. Master, the people are crowding and pressing against thee. But Jesus persists. He says, someone has touched me. Because I perceive that some power has gone forth from me. Who touched me? And then Luke spells out in verse 45. Did you notice that? All denied being responsible for having touched him in that way. And they all say, we didn't touch you. But Jesus knew, someone has touched me. Will the woman now speak up, or will she also deny it? How frightened she must have been at that question of Jesus. For she had thought, if I can but quickly touch him and then quickly go away, and perhaps she had thought, then I'll go to the priest in Jerusalem for the law of purification, and then he can declare me whole. But now this question of Jesus, and Jesus repeats the question. Jesus knew who had touched him. He had noticed that power had gone forth from him to break sin and the consequences of sin and restore that person to communion with God. And he looked around with eyes, the eyes of a shepherd. He had heard somewhere one of his sheep crying. And he said, who touched me? It was a noisy street here in Capernaum congregation. But at this moment, it must have become very still. And in that stillness, she came. She understood, he means me. And she felt caught as a thief, perhaps, in the act. She knew herself uncovered in her soul. And therefore she came, and she fell down, where? At his feet. It raises the question, congregation, why did the Lord Jesus do this? And you and I need to understand that very well. Why did Jesus turn around and say, who touched me? And why did he have her come? right with all present. Why did Jesus, not knowing who she was, think, tonight when it's dark, I'll go knocking on her door. I need to talk to her. Why did he do it here? While the girl at Jairus' home, as it were, was waiting. And there are at least three, maybe more, three reasons, congregation. And the first reason why Jesus did it is that the Lord did it with a view to the multitude. Because the multitude must know who Jesus is and what they can expect from him. And that he is not just a magician, a worker of miracles. That first of all. And secondly, the Lord Jesus did it with respect to himself, congregation, because he did not do his miracles in secret. But openly, they were signs of the kingdom of heaven that had come in his ministry. And that was breaking through with power of the Holy Spirit. And that had to become visible in order that the people might desire to become citizens of that kingdom of heaven. So that's the second reason Jesus did it. First of all, with regard to the multitude. Secondly, with regard to himself. And thirdly, he also did it, especially with respect to this woman. Who has touched me? Who touched me, he said. And I repeat, in that question, Jesus expressed the care of the Good Shepherd. In this question, he expressed that he knew what is in the heart of those drawn by the Father to him. And he knows about this woman that if she would have her way, she would have left unnoticed and gone home. And maybe later would have wondered, was I right in doing what I did? I'm glad I feel much better now. But was I right? Did I not steal this? If I had gone and approached Jesus from the other side, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And he could have seen me there as he was walking towards the Jairus' house. Would he then have stopped? Would he have done so? Well, this good shepherd cares so much about his sheep, congregation, that he does not want to let her go unnoticed. But there was more. You see, it's one thing to be made whole. It's another thing to know him who made her whole. And she doesn't quite know yet the Lord Jesus himself. She has experienced his power, but she hasn't yet come face to face with the Lord, to know the Lord himself, because that would be more than just to be healed by the Lord. Then she would come to know the giver and not only the gift. And that's why Jesus comes with this probing question, who touched me? Jesus Christ wants to make himself known to her. Now think of that, congregation, this question, who touched me? That's a probing question for you and for me in this week of preparation. Because by now it's abundantly clear that not everybody who touches, merely touches Jesus, is made whole, is saved thereby. I mean, there was a crowd of people and so many were touching him. But here is something special. And Jesus does not work as Savior automatically. And his power does not work impersonally. Now, we could say, congregation, from a certain perspective, that you and I in church, every time we are here, touch Jesus. In a certain sense, I say, as the crowd around Jesus was touching him. You could say that when you were baptized as a little baby, you were brought into contact with the Lord Jesus. And every time you came to church to hear the preaching of the law and the gospel. And you could say also at the Christian school, perhaps, where the scripture was opened, or Sunday school, and catechism and Bible class. You can be there and in a sense be like this crowd, pressing against the Lord Jesus. But the question is, have you perhaps up till this time been able to walk away from Jesus as the crowds did? Have you perhaps touched Jesus and yet walked away with him without any change in your heart? Young people, that's also a question for you. You may have touched Jesus, but have you ever touched him like this woman? And has he touched you deep down in your soul, where you are sinful and unclean? And then there comes a change. And therefore there must be the answer to this probing question, who touched me? Congregation, this is week of preparation. And Jesus is asking you tonight and me, and tomorrow, and throughout the week of preparation, who has touched me? Who has? Now remember in verse, I think it's 45, it says, all denied. Will you also deny it? Must you perhaps deny it? Can you deny it? Can you deny it? Could you say tonight, Lord, no, I have not touched thee? Congregation, his eye is looking around in this congregation. And next Lord's Day, he will repeat the question, who has touched me? Who of you inwardly, that is touching me by faith to be made whole, to be saved, to be restored to the communion with God through me, Jesus says. And perhaps there is someone here, or perhaps there are more here in our midst, whom the Lord has uncovered to your need, to your misery, to your uncleanness. And in secret, you are busy with these things. When you are in your closet, at home, in prayer, and no one else can see you there. And the Lord does see you, that you open the Bible with a praying heart, a hungry heart, and that you then say, say unto my soul, O Lord, I am thy salvation. Lord, say it to me personally. And you have been wrestling, perhaps, in prayer very personally. Nobody else knows that, but the Lord knows that. He heard you. He heard you pray, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted, if you have used words from Psalm 25, for example. Or you may have said, O Lord, I so long for thee at thy table, but I can't go to the table next week with all these people there. I think I could if I were all alone with thee, but nobody else should be there but thee and me. But Jesus wants to draw you, fearing and trembling like this woman, to his feet. And his question, who has touched me, urges you, show that you can no longer do without me. Show that you hunger for the bread of life and the communion with God. Who touched me? Does the Lord have you in view? Perhaps you say, perhaps, but I can't go next week. Why not? There is something in between. I can't tell you this, but the Lord knows. But what is in between you and the Lord knows about it, is that weightier than the Savior and His gospel? Is that weightier than the Savior and His gospel? He says to you and me, if there is something, you need to work with it this week. This week, and come. Make yourself known to me in the presence of others. Does the Lord have you in view, younger ones? Maybe you say, I'm hearing it, but I can't, Pastor, next week. I can't. Because if I would go, I know afterwards my mother would, my father would, they have never gone to the table of the Lord. They would say, now how could you go there? That'll be a probing question for me, I tell you. It's true that if you come next week, if you would come like this woman, that others will ask you some questions. But above all, you need to face his question, who touched me? And Jesus persists with that question. Oh, it can make you tremble as it did this woman. Because you think to yourself, I cannot. I may not. When I look at myself, I can't. And if I would, I think I would be stealing Jesus. Well, Jesus says tonight, if you long for me, come then to me. But if you stay away next week, what's then your answer to the question? Are you then still saying, Lord, I know it's important, but I can still do without thee? I still have another doctor to go to that I can consult. Congregation, we read in our text, especially verse 47, these words, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And if you read Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 5, then Mark uses the words, and she told him all the truth, that is, all the truth about herself and the truth about Jesus. And how remarkable that is. That which at first she didn't dare to do, didn't want to do, that she did now, right at the feet of Jesus. She told it all, because it was no longer merely her own trouble that she declared, but also his care for her, his concern, his cause. As she knew herself lying at the feet of this great physician. And now all the people on the street there in Capernaum may hear from her lips what she tells about herself and about Jesus, and that he healed her. And she was drawn to him. And he's the Savior. And she found that she received what was far beyond what she had expected. She told Jesus about her agonizing disease and loneliness, separation from God and from God's house. But she had heard about Jesus, and that had drawn her, and that had been so effectual in her, and had given her expectation. And she says, "And I came, and I just touched you, and I was made whole, saved." And tonight Jesus says to you, congregation, this is how you may come next week. That's how you are called to the table of the Lord, as a sinner who must tell everything. Doesn't mean you have to tell such a long story as such, but only tell about yourself, your need of Him, and Him the Savior, and that it is true in your heart. Tell me why you need me, Jesus says. Tell me why you can't do without me any longer. Tell me about your sin and guilt and troubles, all the truth. And then what you think is still lacking in your life, or you think of what you have to get rid of in your life, tell Him. Tell Him all the truth. That's how the Lord draws you. That's how the Lord leads you on. And then you'll notice that what He gives is far beyond what you ever expected. If you come in that way, He will not send you away, but He will be there. And He causes you to think and to sing, "Beneath thy care the sparrow finds place for peaceful rest." Amen. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, what a precious gospel with which to be at work this week. And give us to find that it is that Thou art at work with us. How precious those two sides, to not be able to stay away from Thee, and to find that Thou dost know us, and dost draw us, and dost make us whole by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. Dismiss us now into this preparatory week with all the things before us as to work, elders' work, pastoral work, surgery in the hospital, treatment, various other duties, difficulties. For help, O Lord, we cry to Thee, assured that Thou wilt help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.